Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification.
Souls of men, oh, you rescue.
Lesson 121, Abraham was justified by faith. In our last lesson, we followed Paul's argument to show that all men are condemned as sinners before God, and justification only comes to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. We also saw how Abraham's example of faith demonstrated that even Old Testament believers were justified by faith. Today, Paul continues this same argument and further develops his point from the example of Abraham's justification through faith. He points out that if Abraham was justified by his works, he would have reason to boast, but not before God. The Jews believed that it was their relationship to Abraham and observance of the law that would justify them before God. Therefore, because their hope was in their being children of Abraham, Paul uses Abraham himself to demonstrate that justification was not based on good works. He explains that when a man works for something, he is rewarded because it is owed to him. God only justifies freely through grace those who believe on Jesus apart from their works. He will not justify those who are trying to pay for their salvation. Paul also calls upon David's writing in the Psalms to further his point, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." This can only happen when a man's sins are forgiven, and the only way to have forgiveness for sins is through faith in Jesus, because Jesus paid for our sins upon the cross. No other payment or method to cover sins has been made available. God is only satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God, as adequate payment for the forgiveness of sins. Now Paul takes another turn in his argument about Abraham's justification, asking his audience whether Abraham was circumcised or uncircumcised when God declared him to be a righteous man. In case they had never considered this point, Paul reminds them that Abraham was indeed justified before God when he was still uncircumcised. This, Paul says, was done so that Abraham would not only be the father to the circumcised, but also to the uncircumcised, so that righteousness could be imputed to them also. The promise made to Abraham was not just to him or his physical descendants, but also to all who would practice Abraham's faith. Paul argues that if those who follow the law were heirs of Abraham's promise, then faith would be meaningless, and the law brings God's wrath, and without law there is no sin. From this line of reasoning, Paul concludes that God's promise made to Abraham and his seed was acquired through faith, and by God's grace, was for all who believe and not just for those who were descendants of Abraham. Abraham's faith is set before us as an example of faith that credits him with righteousness. When Abraham was an old man and his wife was also well beyond childbearing years, he still believed that God would fulfill his promise to give him a son. Abraham did not consider his own age or his wife's age when God told him Sarah would bear him a son. He heard what God said, and he believed that if God said it, that he was able to do what he said, for with God all things are possible. His eyes were fixed on the living God, who gives life, and he knew God could and would keep his promise. It was Abraham's faith in God to perform what he had promised that caused God to declare Abraham righteous. The Bible states this in Genesis 15, and the truth of justification by faith is reinforced throughout the pages of the Bible. God has written about Abraham's justification by faith for our benefit, so we would all understand that our only hope to be righteous before God is our faith in Jesus Christ. It is not a matter of what church you attend, how much you pray or read your Bible, or how hard you try to do what is right. You cannot be righteous before God except through faith. We must believe in Him who raised Jesus from the dead. Believe that Jesus suffered, was crucified, and rose up from the dead. When we believe in Jesus, God will declare us to be righteous and make us His children. It might be difficult for some of us to follow carefully through Paul's scriptural argument here, because the argument is really intended for the Jews, who had their hope in their good works and relationship to Abraham as their means of justification. We can, however, understand the main point he is making, which is that all men are justified, or declared righteous, in the presence of God by their faith in Jesus Christ, and not based on their good works. Though Romans is more technical and difficult to follow, it was necessary to have such a careful explanation of the gospel for the sake of the Jews, who had misdirected their faith from being in God to being in the scriptures and their being born of Abraham. Paul wipes away all these false ideas through his very careful explanation of justification by faith, whether under the old Jewish covenant or the new covenant of our present church age. For most of us, a simple explanation that we are guilty sinners and God wants to show us mercy and therefore send Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins will be sufficient for us to believe the gospel and find salvation. We are glad to have the book of Romans, though, for we can have the theological confidence of our justification based on its principle taught in both the Old and New Testament. Just as Abraham believed God, and God accepted Abraham's faith as credit for righteousness, so we also, by showing faith in Jesus, can be justified. If you want to be a child of God and have forgiveness of sins, then believe in Jesus who died for you and rose from the dead. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we've followed Paul's argument about justification by faith as illustrated by Abraham's. We also learned that we may receive the promise of being heirs with Abraham, whether or not we are his physical descendants, when we practice the faith of Abraham. Someone might ask the question, what was the promise made to Abraham to which we become heirs? Today we read about a promise made to Abraham, and that all who follow in his steps of faith also become heirs of that promise. At verse 13 of this chapter, we are told that Abraham would be the heir of the world. And in verse 17, Abraham is called the father of many nations. When Abraham was promised a son by God, he was an old man and his wife was also old, and yet Abraham believed God's word. If we look back at the words of God spoken to Abraham in Genesis 17, God said to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. He also told Abraham that his descendants would inherit the land of the Canaanites as an everlasting inheritance. Now we have learned in today's lesson that these blessings for Abraham and his offspring are also for all those who are children of faith. That means that every Christian will also enjoy an inheritance along with Abraham and his descendants. Now, Abraham never did receive the land of promise while he was living. He did receive a son of promise, but that was not the fulfillment of all that God was to give to Abraham. The promise to Abraham is still yet to be fulfilled. Although the Jews did take over much of the land that was promised to their father Abraham, they have never possessed all the land that was promised. For God said the borders of their land would extend from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates River. This land has not yet been fully inherited by Abraham's offspring through the promised son Isaac, although the children of Ishmael have also inherited much of this land even up to this day. One day when the Lord Jesus returns to rule upon this earth, he will establish his kingdom with Jerusalem as his capital, and Israel will be given all the lands that were promised to Abraham by God. When Christ rules over all the nations, the promise made to Abraham that of his seed all nations would be blessed, and he would inherit all nations, will be fulfilled. We become part of this great promise made to Abraham when we as Christians join our Lord Jesus Christ during his future reign and are given to share in the blessings promised to Abraham and his descendants. Along with the Jewish believers at that time, we shall enjoy the land that God promised to Abraham. The earth will be changed to be much like it was originally in the Garden of Eden, where plant and animal life will prosper greatly and people will no longer die after a few years, but will live long lives as they did in the generations before the flood. As children of the promise, we shall live in this kingdom of peace, prosperity, righteousness, and justice. We shall rule and reign with our Lord. Though the Jews will be the head of the nations, the church will also be with the Lord to execute his righteous command over the kingdom. This is a wonderful time when God shall restore all things that have been ruined and damaged by sin, to return to God's original intent and design. When he made man and placed him in the garden and gave him dominion over God's creation, man failed because of sin, was cast away from God's presence, and has suffered great misery because of his rebellion against God. But when the perfect man, Jesus Christ, assumes his rightful throne, his dominion and rule will not be tainted with any sin. Those who belong to him shall be blessed as God intended in his original creation and as promised through Abraham because of faith. We shall inherit the kingdom along with Abraham under the perfect king, enjoying life as God intended man to live, with peace, prosperity, and everlasting life. While we talk about the promise made to Abraham and our part in that promise, it brings us to a future blessing in the reign of Christ on the earth. At present, we have not seen this promise fulfilled, for we are waiting first for the Lord to come in judgment upon all nations, and the church to be taken by rapture out of this world. Once the Lord has judged the nations, and he returns to rule and reign upon the earth, the promise to Abraham will then come to fulfillment. However, the promise is an everlasting promise, so the rule of Christ will continue into the eternal ages of the future. There will, however, be a rebellion against Christ after he reigns for 1,000 years, and the devil and all who will follow him will be judged and cast into the lake of fire to suffer forever. Then God will dissolve this world and this creation, and make a new heaven and a new earth, where righteousness dwells. All those who are children of faith, who walk in faith as Abraham did, will inherit this new heaven and new earth. This looks even beyond the promise made to Abraham, but must also include something of that promise, for God said his covenant with Abraham and his descendants was an everlasting covenant. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the full of God. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.